Okay. Hare Krishna. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Radhakala Chandi's Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita reading. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jai Veta Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're in the Madhya Lila, chapter number 16. This chapter is entitled The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan. I'm going to read one of the Bengali verses and then I'll just read the English to you so you get a little bit of the story. So it goes, Acharya Prasade Palai Prabhura Utishta Prabhura Charana Deke Dina Pancha Satta. When Raghunath Das was there, Advaita Acharya favored him by giving him the food remnants left by the Lord. Raghunath Das was thus engaged for 5 or 7 days in rendering service to the Lord's lotus feet. After bidding farewell to Raghunath Das, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri. After returning home, Raghunath Das became mad with ecstatic love. So you remember, this is Raghunath Das is still at his home. And Lord Chaitanya, he's visiting South India at this time. And Raghunath Das, he has two uncles that are worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Raghunath, he was a very interesting child. Even from his very, early years, he gave up an interest in material enjoyment. He wasn't interested in women and money and house, and even though his father was like a king. So Raghunath Das used to run away from home again and again and go to Jagannath Puri. But his father kept binding him and bringing him back. So you can imagine, right? Your son is running away and you're sending soldiers after him. And the soldiers are capturing him and tying him up and bringing him back home. And your home is like a palace. And it said that Raghunath Das's wife was more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. He had a whole, retinue of men and servants and soldiers and so much wealth, a beautiful wife. And yet he kept running away, running away, running away. So his father even had 5 watchmen guard him day and night. 4 personal servants were employed to look after his comfort, and 2 brahmanas were employed to cook for him. So even as he's quite young here, so you can imagine he had like a dozen people just attending to him. Oh my God. In this way, 11 people were incessantly keeping Raghunath Das under control. Thus, he could not go to Jagannath Puri, and because of this, he was very unhappy. You guys feeling unhappy about not going to Jagannath Puri? Yeah, this is our line, Raghunath Das's line. When Raghunath Das learned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived at Shantipur, he submitted a request to his father. Raghunath Das asked his father, "Please give me permission to go see the lotus feet of the Lord. If you do not, my life will not remain within this body." So now he's coming to the point of even threatening that he'd commit suicide if he can't go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hearing this request, Raghunath Das's father agreed. Giving him many servants and materials, the father sent him to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting him to return soon. For 7 days, Raghunath Das associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur. During those days and nights, he had the following thoughts. Have you ever been to Shantipur, any of you? Mishrapur?
Yeah,
so
up to 45,000 people.
Yes, and Mishra Prabhu, he helps serve 45,000 people, prasadam there. Each year at the house of Advaita Acharya in that area there, the local devotees, they cook a gigantic feast. It's on the Vyas Puja, or the appearance day of Madhavendra Puri. And all the ISKCON devotees come, and people just seem to come from the spiritual world, just thousands and thousands of people. And they sit down on the ground, practically as far as you can see, in all directions, in lines. And devotees cook these gigantic reservoirs. They have like this kind of, it's almost like a house. It's kind of a, and it's divided into two huge concrete wall type boxes. These boxes are about maybe 6 or 8 feet deep by about maybe 8 feet wide by 8 feet wide. So, you know, big, right? Made out of concrete, bricks, cinder blocks. And they cook and they fill those with khichdi and sabji. And then the devotees, they scoop it out in big buckets. And then everybody sits down with these lotus leaf plates. And they go up and down the rows serving this khichdi and sabji and really nice prasadam. So much fun. Hare Bol Kishor. Actually, Prabhupada, he was thinking about having our headquarters at Shantipur. He first went there looking for a property. So this is at Shantipur. So Raghunath Das, he stayed there for 7 days and nights with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he began to think like this. How shall I be able to get free from the hands of these watchmen? How shall I be able to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Nichala, Jagannath Puri? Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient, he could understand Raghunath Das's mind. The Lord therefore instructed him with the following reassuring words. Be patient and return home. Don't be a crazy fellow. By and by, you will be able to cross the ocean of material existence. Nice, huh? Lord Chaitanya speaking to Raghunath in his dreams. So here's Srila Prabhupada's comment, says, stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Sama Shrite Ye Pada Palava Palvalam Maha Padam Puna Yasho Murayare. It says, this material world is just like a big ocean. It begins with Brahma Loka and extends to Patal Loka. And there are many planets or islands in this ocean. Not knowing about devotional service, the living entity wanders about this ocean. Just as a man tries to swim to reach the shore, our struggle for existence is similar to this. Everyone is trying to get out of the ocean of material existence. One cannot immediately reach the coast, but if one endeavors, he can cross the ocean by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's word mercy. One may be very eager to cross this ocean, but he cannot attain success by acting like a madman. He must swim over the ocean very patiently and intelligently under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representative. Then one day he will reach the shore and return home back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. So once there's a devotee, very nice devotee. He lives in Hawaii. And he was looking for a boat that he could take people out on and preach to them about Krishna consciousness. So it turned out that he found one older couple, and they were willing to donate this beautiful boat. It was a replica of the Mayflower, the famous Spanish boat that came here with Christopher Columbus. It was 55 feet long. It was made out of pure teak wood. Beautiful sailboat. It's a pretty interesting story. Narahari Prabhu tells this. And he flew to New Jersey here in America to get this boat. So he hadn't told them that the boat was for the Hare Krishna movement. And when he arrived, the people were so happy to donate the boat. And they said, you know, we are so happy to donate this boat to anyone except the Hare Krishnas. So Narhari Prabhu, we didn't know what to do. Anyway, he ended up explaining all about Srila Prabhupada's mission to them, and then they became transformed by the words of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And they ended up giving him this boat. Now, what's unique is he boarded the boat, and he told me no one would travel with him. They were afraid because he wanted to take the boat from New Jersey across the ocean to Hawaii. So he ended up having to go alone. Now, he told me that his main fear was that he would run out of water to drink. So he loaded the boat with water and he set out. So, you know, that's a long way across the ocean. I mean, if you guys ever flown to Hawaii from here, right? You fly from like Los Angeles or San Francisco. It's about a 6-7 hour flight, right? So you're talking from New Jersey, you're probably crossing 3,000 to 4,000 miles worth of ocean, right? You come down the Atlantic Ocean to the coast, and then you cross out and enter into the Pacific Ocean, and then you head out, you know, due south to Hawaii. So he was in the boat, and he told me that as he got farther and farther out into the ocean, you know, the land finally had disappeared. And he told me that the waves in the ocean, not just the type of waves in the storm, but just the normal everyday waves, he called them swells. So the water would swell up, and the water would swell so high, it would create a valley, and it would be higher than the masts of the ship. So you can imagine, right? The ship, the masts are probably 60 feet high, or at least 40, 50 feet high on that big sailboat. And he told me the swells were higher than the masts. And he said that he would ride the boat down one side. He said it was like going down the side of a big hill, and then he'd have to go up the other side as he crossed out over the ocean. He told me one night, a huge fish came out of the water next to the boat. He said it was so frightening, you know, like Moby Dick or something, you know, it just slammed the boat over into the water and killed him. So we can hardly imagine what it means to actually swim across the ocean. A similar thing happened to my brother. He's a big sailboat enthusiast. And he ended up flipping a boat over, and a storm came in, and the only way you could get the boat dislodged, the mast had gone into the sand of the floor of the bay where he was. He had to disconnect the mast, and when he disconnected the mast, the wind changed, and it ended up blowing him and a couple of his friends way out, 40 miles out into the ocean in the middle of a storm. He told me they had to tie their bodies on to the, it was a catamaran, so it had flipped upside down. So normally the deck, it's like a kind of a shroud that's tied, is about 3-4 feet out of the water, but it flipped upside down so it was in the water. So they were standing in water up to their waists, you know, up to their chests, tied to the pontoons of this catamaran sailboat. Washed out. He told me as the storm got stronger, the waves would come and crash over them. And he told me a similar thing. This enormous fish came out of the water next to them in the boat in the middle of the night. He said they were constantly praying. Finally, what happened was some local policeman saw that his car and trailer was parked at the beach shore for 2 days. And so they ended up contacting the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard came out with a helicopter, and they found them 40 miles out to sea. He told me within another day they would have died from dehydration. He said they were already starting to hallucinate from being out in the sun with no water to drink. So we're talking about crossing the entire ocean of material existence. What I'm talking about is just two simple journeys out into the ocean. But we're talking about crossing over millions and millions of planetary systems and so many different types of material desires and aspirations. All of that can be surpassed by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here, Raghunath Das, he was praying like that, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't be a crazy fellow. Just follow the practice sincerely, and everything will come out a grand success. Said, you should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciate. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Purport. The word madarkata vairagya, indicating false renunciation, is very important in this verse. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in commenting on this word, points out that monkeys make an external show of renunciation by not accepting clothing and by living naked in the forest. In this way, they consider themselves renunciates, but actually they are very busy enjoying sense gratification with dozens of female monkeys. Such renunciation is called madarkata vairagya, the renunciation of a monkey. One cannot be really renounced until one actually becomes disgusted with material activity and sees it as a stumbling block to spiritual advancement. Renunciation should not be palgu, temporary, but should exist throughout one's life. Temporary renunciation or monkey renunciation is like the renunciation one feels at a cremation ground. When a man takes a dead body to the crematorium, he sometimes thinks, this is the final end of the body. Why am I working so hard day and night? Such sentiments naturally arise in the mind of any man who goes to a crematorial ghat. However, as soon as he returns from the cremation grounds, he again engages in material activity for sense enjoyment. This is called samsana vairagya or markata vairagya. In order to render service to the Lord, one may accept necessary things. If one lives in this way, he may actually become renounced. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated, yavata swanivataha. The bare necessities of life must be accepted, but one should not how do you say that word, you guys? Superficially. It's a F-L-U-O-U-S-L-Y. Yeah, superficially, thank you. Increase his necessities, nor should they be unnecessarily decreased. One should simply accept what is necessary to help one advance spiritually. In his Durgama Sangamani, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that the word swanirvaha actually means swaswabhakti nirvaha. The experienced devotee will accept only those material things that will help him render service to the Lord. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12256, Markata Vairagya or Palugu Vairagya is explained as follows. Quote, when When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, the renunciation is called incomplete. Whatever is favorable for the rendering of service to the Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as a material thing. Yukta Vairagya, or benefiting renunciation, is thus explained anasyaktyasya vishayan yatarham upayunjata nirbanda krishna sambande yukta varagyam uchate. Things should be accepted for the Lord's service and not for one's personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment and accepts it because it is related to Krishna, one's renunciation is called yukta vairagya. Since Krishna is the absolute truth, whatever is accepted for his service is also the absolute truth. The word markata vairagya is used by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate so-called Vaishnavas who dress themselves in loincloths trying to imitate Srila Rupa Goswami. Such people carry a bead bag and chant, but at heart they are always thinking about getting women and money. Unknown to others, these markata vairagis maintain women, but externally present themselves as renunciates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much opposed to these markata vairagis, or pseudo Vaishnavas. There's a story where Srila Prabhupada, he chastised some of the devotees in India. There was an Indian family. They were silver merchants. And they brought a big, solid silver Vyasasan to the temple for Prabhupada. You know, just like we have this big Vyasasan. So you can imagine, right, a huge throne made out of silver. And the devotees told him, no, we don't want this. He said, no, we don't want it. And they told the man to take it away. So when they told Prabhupada that it sent the man away with the Vyasasan, the silver Vyasasan, Prabhupada, his response was, Lakshmi has come to you and you have kicked her away. See, if we can learn this art of seeing everything in relationship to Krishna, then we can utilize material things without becoming attached or involved in sense gratification, degraded. You see? The example Prabhupada gives is of the difference between a Vaishnava practicing Yukta Vairagya and an impersonalist practicing Palgu Vairagya, or as stated here, Markata Vairagya, means the renunciation of a monkey. Prabhupada, he explains that the devotee, he sees that everything, also the material energy, is one of Krishna's energies. So even though the manifestations of the material energy are temporary, that's not to say that this energy is false, because it is the property of the Supreme Lord. So if it's used in the service of the Lord, it takes on its original spiritual nature. Just like an iron rod, if you put it into fire, it'll become just like fire, it'll burn. So the same way, when you utilize material things in a relationship with the Supreme Lord, how do we do that? By serving the spiritual master, by serving the Vaishnavas, by serving the deities. Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavad Gita. Hari Guru Vaishnava. We take everything and we use it for the service of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. Then the material energy takes on its original spiritual nature. See, the impersonalists, they reject the material energy because they say the manifestations of the material energy are temporary. Therefore, the material world is false. So they try to renounce material activity. They try to renounce material things. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of eating. Everyone wants to eat some delicious food, some luxuriant food. You see? But the impersonalist cannot do that. Because they say that the food is a temporary form of sense enjoyment. And therefore it is false. But the devotees, we say that the material energy is both false and real simultaneously. The manifestations of the material world are temporary, therefore they are false. So if we try to become happy with something that's temporary, our happiness is also temporary, which means our happiness is false. Sense gratification always ends in misery. Because every sense object is temporary. So if we try to become happy with something that's temporary, our happiness is also temporary. And when our happiness comes to an end, Krishna says, Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samadbhava. We will become frustrated. We will be sad, unhappy. We will become angry. We will become depressed, delusioned. So that's not happiness. That's maya, illusion. So rather, when we take this temporary material manifestations and we utilize them in the service of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava, then they take on their original spiritual nature. Just like, for example, if you work for a bank, so you're using the bank money, you're using the bank office, you're using the bank cars. Now, as long as you're utilizing everything for the purpose of the bank, you're getting a salary, you're getting a promotion, you're getting a paid vacation. But as soon as you take that money and you try to utilize it for yourself, you become a criminal. You become full of anxieties. How will I, you know, cheat these people in the bank? Who will I blame? Where is my next victim? And the result is full of anxieties. So if we understand that we didn't create this universe. Now, according to the Vedas, it's described that everything is created by the Supreme Lord, right? He says it again and again and again in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasha Prabhavo Matasavam Pavartate. Lord Brahma is saying, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satcharananda Vigraha Nadi Radha Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Everything is coming from Krishna. Material scientists, they want to deny the existence of God. They want to say that everything comes from the material energy. It's a very interesting analysis that's given by Sataputta Prabhu. Hare Krishna, good morning. And Sataputta Prabhu, I found those banners, by the way. Hare Krishna. Sataputta Prabhu, if you go on Google, or if you go to YouTube, and you put in Sadaputta, S-A-D-A-P-U-T-A, Prabhu, you'll see a whole wonderful, you know, list of lectures given by him where he analyzes with years and years of research. I was listening to a lecture yesterday. He has 8 years of research for this single lecture. And it is amazing. And he explains the materialistic scientists' approach to understanding life and their arguments and their information and their names. And their impact in society. And then he gives you the Mayavadi's explanation And then he gives you the Vaishnava explanation. But just basically, the point I want to make, it's just like, let's just say, for example, you had $1 trillion. Right? So everybody knows that $1 trillion is nothing but a big pile of currency notes, of paper. Right? Paper. So just like if you live in a house like mine, the way the wind blows around this building, it blows all the paper from the park into my front yard. The way it's designed. You see? So normally if a lot of paper blows into your front yard, you just go out and you rake it up and you throw it in the trash can. Because it's just worthless paper. So it's just worthless paper. So the Mayavadis, they say that this material world is worthless. Because its manifestations are temporary. And therefore, the material world is false. So that's just like saying that $1 trillion in currency notes is nothing but worthless paper. But the Vaishnavas understand that this material energy is not just false material manifestations, but it is one of the energies of the Supreme Lord, right? He's speaking this in the Bhagavad Gita, Bina Prakriti, Apara Prakriti, Apara Shakti. He's saying, it is my energy. So the devotee is like a person who understands that $1 trillion is not just useless and worthless paper, but it is invested with a intrinsic value by the government. And so he can take that paper and he can utilize it to do amazing things. He can invest $1 trillion and make $2 trillion. 3 trillion, 10 trillion. So in the same way, the materialistic understanding of the Mayavadis is that God does not exist as a person. It's the same understanding that the materialistic scientists have. Do you guys know what the meaning of the word transcendental is? What? Beyond the material? Yeah, that's one of the definitions. Transcendental means beyond time. So what the Western scientists explain is that the origin of the creation, if it is under the influence of time, would mean that it would be destroyed. So they purport that the origin of life must be outside of time. But to be outside of time, it would have to be impersonal. Because to be a person, you have to function within time. Right? To be a person means you have desires, you have intelligence, you have activities, right? You have thoughts. You have aspirations. So all of these things are conducted by time, right? They take time. Nobody concludes, nobody ever thinks that to do something or to desire something means to do something without taking any time. So if something's outside of time, it would have to be impersonal. And therefore they conclude that the origin of life is energy. And the same thing with the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, they've understood the quality of unity in the Supreme. That God is one. Right? You've heard it so many times. Everything is one. We are all one. Right? My Guru Maharaj used to tell impersonalists that, oh, if we're all one, then why don't you hand me your wallet? Let me take your money. Because we're one. Doesn't matter if you spend it or if I spend it. We're one. Live on that philosophy. Live according to that philosophy. Can you? So the Vaishnavacharya, Srila Jiva Goswami, is being quoted here in this Durga Ma Sanganam, right? It means the association of Durga. So he gives the example of a bowl filled with water. Now, if a bowl is filled with water, certainly you wouldn't say that the bowl is within the water, right? The bowl is outside of the water. But the bowl still contains the water within it. So in the same way, Krishna contains everything within himself. He contains all manifestations, all energies, and all time. Krishna is conscious of everything, past, present, and future. Krishna knows you. He knows everything about us. He knows everything that we're desiring. He knows everything that we'll do, and he knows when we will go back to him. In Sanskrit, it's called Trikalagya. Trikalagya. One who knows past, present, and future. Even some devotees, great devotees, have access to this level of consciousness, like Narada Muni. It's described that the great sage Narada Muni, he would visit Krishna and he would discuss with Krishna things that had not happened yet. So anyway, in this particular example that I'm giving you of $1 trillion, all right, that the $1 trillion is not simply useless paper. It has an intrinsic value. So in the same way, this material energy is not simply a false combination of material elements that are temporary, but it is the property of God. So if we use this property in the service of God, then we become free from the laws of material nature. Okay, so I'm going to stop here, you guys. It's a little bit of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the difference between the Markata Vairagi and the Yukta Vairagi. The Yukta Vairagi sees everything as Krishna's energy. And we understand that Krishna is a person. And there's many different explanations that are given. I won't go deeply into them. And the Mayavadis and the materialistic scientists are rejecting God's personality because they believe that personality must be within time. For something to be outside of time, it could not have personality. That's the difference. So we're saying, Vaishnavas are saying that this material world is both false and true simultaneously. Because its manifestations are temporary, they are false. But the energy itself is the property of the Supreme Lord. It's the energy of the Supreme Lord, and therefore it is real. Simultaneous false and reality. So when you utilize the material energy in the service of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava, you become free from the modes of material nature. You become free from the laws of nature. Just like the person who uses the money in the bank for the service of the bank, they're free to act according to their desire. And when we utilize the material energy for sense gratification, or if we reject the material energy altogether and try to live without any sense of desire or personal existence, then we become bound by the modes of material nature. So Raghunath Das here, he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, don't be a false renunciate. Don't give up the things that are being provided to you, but utilize everything in Krishna consciousness, and then your life will become sublime. Okay, so thank you very much, you guys. It's time for breakfast. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.